episode 19 of the Baco Tunes podcast. Today we have Mr. Paul Rodriguez, comedian extraordinary, the godfather of Latino comedy, and just one of the all-around good guy comics on the scene today. What a guy, man. I'm talking to him on the phone. It was like I was talking to my own brother, or my tío. That's uncle in Spanish, you know, just in case you didn't know. And we're talking about his upcoming appearance here in Bakersfield with the Latin Kings of Comedy Tour Volume 2, Friday, May 12, 2006 at the Bakersfield Fox Theater. And if you're not familiar with the Latin Kings of Comedy, you got to go out and rent Latin Kings of Comedy Volume 1. It's got Cheech Marin, it's got George Lopez when he was barely getting ready to bust out, and of course the King, Paul Rodriguez. Let's kick right into it. It's a nice lengthy conversation with Paul Rodriguez. But hey, you're going to love it from the beginning to the end. So get your munchies, get your munchos, get your hot tamales, get your six-pack and lay it next to you, and get ready. This is Paul Rodriguez right here on the Baco Tunes podcast, brought to you by, of course, Bacotopia.com. Hey, so how are you doing?
Doing pretty good in this cloudy day in Los Angeles.
Oh, so you're in Los Angeles right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Getting ready to go over the grapevine. Down to Bakersfield.
Right on. That's a So how does it feel to be going so strong in the business after all these years?
You know, a lot of times making or being a flash in the pan is a lot easier than staying there, you know. I'm surprised myself. I figured by now I would have been retired or at an old folks home somewhere, you know. But it's still fun, you know. The audiences are still coming out, and now I'm basically just introducing a whole new breed of talented young guys, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the Latin Kings of Comedy Tour. What is it all about?
It's basically showing or pointing out what I consider to be the next wave of guys who are bound to make it, you know, become the next George Lopez. Is when we did the first Latin one, George really hadn't had that kind of exposure, and that video arguably broke him out, you know, and then of course he got a series and the things that he's done. Well, I believe that in this next go around, Luke Torres, Johnny Sanchez, they're just definitely gonna wind up with their own sitcom and stuff, you know. They're that good.
Excellent. Going back to the first tour you did, is this just the second Latin Kings of Comedy tour? Because I remember the DVD that came out and it had, you know, Cheech and you. And how successful was that? Was the DVD and the tour?
To date, 1.2 million sold, and possibly half that number dubbed and silvered and most of my family members.
Oh yeah. We know what's up with that. Yeah,
that's how I used to get my video. So I guess it's a little payback, a little justice. But it's been great. You know, we've allotted a percentage of that money, 5%, to the National Hispanic Scholarship Fund, and we think it's a good cause. It's a terrific way to give back. Yeah.
Beautiful. How do you feel about the Latino comedy scene this present time?
It's booming, you know. I mean, you got Carlos Mencia taking care of business on Comedy Central. You got George going strong with his sitcom. Mm-hmm. Me and a bunch of guys are out here on the road, and there's a you know, to make these guys qualified for this, I must have saw maybe 30, 40, 50. There's a lot more, you know, who are, I don't think are ready, but there's about 30 or 40 that are good to go now. I wish I could have given them all an opportunity, but you can't, so you try to make the best of what you got. It's exploding. It's going. You know, when I started some 28 years ago, it's a pretty lonely situation, you know. A Latino comedian was... You're just an anomaly, but now it's going strong. It's the mainstream, you know. Look what just happened this last week with the marches and the protests and all of that. Mm-hmm. I had my own slant on that. We had a lot of comedians out there, and we had you know, comedians out there in the middle of the whole thing. We weren't marching because, you know, we're lazy, and basically, we had suggestions of other people how they should march. We believe that that fat people should march, and we believe that if you're illegal and Latino in this country, you should march in place. If you're illegal, you should march backwards. And basically, you march long enough, you go back to where you started. And that's, you know, we believe deaf people should live near the airport. We have a whole list of comedy beliefs, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about, who are your comedy influences?
Well, for me, man, it has always been, and I got to meet them. I guess the only one I didn't get to meet was Freddie Prinze, who had an impact simply because he was the only Latino I could point out. But Cheech, from Cheech and Chong, absolutely. Richie Pryor, a guy named Robert Klein, I always liked. George Carlin, just guys like that, man. They are just, I like monologists. I like guys who, I don't like puppeteers. I don't like, mimes. I don't like guys with a guitar who sing funny songs. I like guys who go up there with nothing but an idea, with words, and are able to crack you up. It's an awesome power, man. When we consider we're playing to crowds of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 in Phoenix and Stockton, when it's sold out. Mm-hmm. I would tell all my cousins and whoever's reading this right now, get your ticket. This is not a cheap play to sell. Don't come calling afterwards and going, oh, man, basically what you're saying is you didn't think the ticket was going to sell, so you didn't show up. Well, you're done for. We got close to 6,000 in Phoenix. We've been doing huge numbers, man. The word's getting out on this show. I'm so proud of it.
Excellent. Do you remember your first gig as a stand-up? Can you tell me how it was?
Yeah, I basically got paid $50 to perform in between, basically a children's party, and I think I had maybe three jokes that weren't that were suitable, you know, that weren't vulgar, filthy, and it was cool. It was I went up there and I did a routine about Eula Love at the time. Eula Love with this lady that was shot by the Los Angeles Police Department because she supposedly attacked him with a butter knife years ago. And I said, Eula Love, with much love, I said that I wasn't going to accuse the police department of using excessive force. I said, all I'm saying is that they shot her 19 times, they had to reload, and I said, any cop who has to reload should be fired because he's a bad shot.
Oh,
so, you know, that was a little too hip and social for 12-year-olds. And they all looked at me the same way I looked at Jeopardy, but I was learning.
That's awesome.
Dad, what's that mean?
Yeah, Hey, so I remember you watching you on AKA Pablo back in the day, you know, mm-hmm. And I come from McFarland, and so, you know, we're all Mexican over there, so watching you on TV was always a really big deal for everybody.
Gateway to Famoso.
Yeah, exactly. What was that experience like? Because, you know, right after Freddie Prinze passed, you were like the one that came up, you know, you stepped up, and everybody was like,
well,
you know, who's this Paul Rodriguez guy?
Break time. We'll be back.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. We all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now.
I
gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Basically, you know, what happens is that the saying is that necessity is the mother of invention, and I say that poverty is the mother of necessity, you know. My family's from Fresno. We're migrant farm workers. My father's injured on the job. I got out of the Air Force. I was going to college, but I really wasn't finding what to do with my life, you know, where to go, direction. And in college, I needed some pretty easy electives, you know, to fill in, and it turned out to be drama, you know. And I had no intention of being an actor or a comedian. It's just simply that's all where all the pretty chicks are, you know. they're in drama. They all want to be actresses. So you might get lucky there. So I went there, and then I found the stage to be alluring, and it's a great thing in life. And I tell youngsters this: when you find that which you feel a light illuminate, like when you're born, you were born to do that. It's a wonderful thing, because I think every one of us through life, high school is such a confusing thing, because you're trying to find out what is it, what's my place, what is it that I'm supposed to do? Am I supposed to be a writer? Am I supposed to be a welder, a candlestick maker? What is it that God put me on this planet for that I have skill and talent for? Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to find that thing. You know, some people go their whole lives and they don't find it. Some people find out sometimes too late that they are writers, that they're performers. But lucky me, and I, before I knew it, I was doing that, before even I knew what I was doing. I mean, there was no one for me to look at to try to pattern myself after. Mm-hmm. I tell Carlos and George and all these guys that I'm certainly what isn't the best. I never saw myself as that. But at least they had the benefit of saying, you know, I'm better than that dude. I think that I influenced the explosion of Latino comedians, because perhaps I was that lousy. You know, people saw me, every vato saw me on TV and go, oh, I got funnier stuff than that. But just trip on this. Had I not been that untalented, you know, I'd still be at it. You know, I mean, I think I influenced a lot of people by the fact that I couldn't turn to any Latino. By that time, Freddie Prinze had taken his own life.
Yeah.
And Cheech and Chong had broken up, and I didn't know what to do, so I was forced to do that. And
you re-pioneered the whole movement, man. The whole,
you know, not trying to take any credit. I'll simply say this: that I tried to be the best Paul Rodriguez I could, you know, and of course there's a lot better ones since and will be, but. You know, there's only one Christopher Columbus, and I'm not bragging about that. It's a fact. And Christopher, if you look at it, didn't exactly have a great life. He died of syphilis in the Dominican Republic. So hopefully that won't happen to me. But because I got a great son. I don't know if you've heard about the P-Rod, but...
Oh, of course.
That boy is...
Of course, man. My son is a skateboarder, big fan. I still subscribe to Thrasher Magazine, everything like that. So, and I watch ESPN, so of course I've seen him.
You know, he said, I was just watching some videos that they have on the web, and he's never bragged about it. He's never showed them to me, you know. I think my son is blessed because he's not a... He's kind of shy, and he's not a braggart, and he lets his feet do his talking, and he's got a lot of qualities that his old man certainly didn't give him, but he is see, he's blessed too, because he found something that he does well in life, and my father told me that I remember when I told him I was going to be a comedian, he literally said, ha! Don't make me laugh. And I told my mom, I said, I wanted to be a comic and I needed a few dollars to go to New York. And she said, act like you got money. And that's all the way they could help, you know. Yeah. And when my son told me he was going to be a skater, I wasn't all that thrilled. I didn't understand what it was. And I said, oh, man, do something with your life except that. But he was so successful that we both agreed that when he has a son or a daughter, if this child decides to... play checkers, we're going to run out and get him the best checkerboard there money can buy, because he just might be good at it, you know?
Absolutely.
So we're not going to try to choose a career. We're going to let the career choose you.
I spoke with Gabriel Iglesias during his stop here, and he mentioned you as you are the one for him.
I love Gabriel. You know, I see so much talent. And look, comedians are like I've always said that comedians are like restaurants. Some people serve cuisine, you know, really foo-foo, high-uppity food, you know, what I would consider intelligent stuff. Your your Stephen Wrights, your Dennis Millers, where you have to have the IQ of an Einstein and Stephen Hawking to understand their references. And some people, you know, serve out of a roach coach. You know, they serve the ordinary blue collar plate. You know, and mm-hmm. some people a little restaurant, and some people, you know, serve Mexican food. Some people at deli. We are like restaurants. We're all individuals and unique. And I happen to think I serve Mexican American, you know, food, and some people. And then after a while, you develop fans. You know, you develop people that like your style. You know, you develop it. You don't even know you have a style. You know, I'll tell you this: Gabriel it gives variety and makes my heart happy. You know, because he does so many things. There was a young man that I helped a long time ago that I was convinced that he was the Messiah, and I was John the Baptist. And unfortunately, his drug just took it away. Mm. But Gabriel he's no slouch himself, man. He's a terrific dude. He hangs around with fatter guys than he is. That way he'll make him look like he's in shape.
Yeah.
But it'd be tough to find a nicer, more talented guy than him. Unfortunately, you know, there isn't that kind of camaraderie amongst all of us, you know. I don't know why people don't talk to each other. I guess we were born to be so competitive, we can't be friends. But, you know, a caution to Carlos and George that what goes up must come down. You got to give an opportunity for other Latinos to help. My conscience is clear. I have always searched for other Latinos to open for me in whatever way I could help them, you know. And I'm saddened to hear, and I don't know this for a fact, that they're not reaching out and helping, but I'm sure that's just a rumor. I'm sure they are. I hope they are.
Yeah, so do I. Well, you're definitely the godfather figure, you know. Regardless if you want to accept that title or not, you know, all the comedians, you know, and maybe if they don't even want to admit it, it's Paul Rodriguez, you know. You're the one for this generation. And so, you know.
You know, you get old right away because my kid, I remember, it's so funny, he's a man now, he's 21, and he was looking at this movie that I did years before he was born, you know. And he said, "Dad, oh man, you were skinny." I said, "Dude, it'll happen to you."
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great. I'm happy where I'm at. I think that I'm not even concerned about getting an Oscar. I'm glad I got a Paul and a Lucas. These are young. I'm so proud of my kids. I couldn't begin to tell you, man. If my purpose on earth was only to have had them, I think it was more than enough, you know. Mm-hmm. They're that kind of kids. You know, the reason I love my children so much is because they've been so forgiving to me. You know, I wasn't the kind of father that a kid deserves. Like, my father was always there for us. You know, he had time and me. I was always chasing the brass ring on the other side of the country, you know, trying to make a few bucks for the poverty of my family. And I can have a lot of great excuses, but the truth is I wasn't there. And they still grew up, you know, really nice kids, nice people, representing not only the raza, but just the kindness, unbelievable. A lot of people don't know, but I'll tell you this. My kid Paulie took $50,000 that he won from the X Games,
mm-hmm.
and he gave it to the Red Cross for Katrina, and he refused to let me or anybody know it, you know?
Wow.
I only knew about it when the taxes came in. And we have the same accountant, and I said, "What is this?" And they said, "Yeah, can you believe that?" And I'm going, "Oh man, it just, you know, make my heart tremble." And I confronted him. He goes, "I said, but Paulie, you know, just starting out, you know that, you know, 10% is the right thing to do if you want a charity, you know." And he goes, "Yeah, but they need it so bad, Dad." I'll get more.
Yeah.
And you know, that just makes me go, wow, man, this is a really good human being that if he's not careful, he's going to wind up broke.
Well, yeah. I thank you so much for taking the time. Okay, do you have any message to your Bakersfield fans?
Yeah, you know, it's not really me you come to see. It's what I'm presenting. I'm here to tell you that Luke Torres, Johnny Sanchez, and Darren Cartier, I'm here to tell you that you better see them now, because just like I told everybody about George 2 years ago when we did Latin's One, you might not be able to afford them the second time around. So get up and get personal. I think that my job is to basically be the Don Francisco of Latino comedy.
Absolutely. Are you going to start singing now? Are you going to release an album?
Well, actually, you know what I am doing is I've been in Mexico City filming this movie, right? So I took the opportunity to do see if I can perform in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And I've been performing to large crowds. I got invited to go to Acapulco, to Venezuela, to Puerto Rico, and I've been performing in Costa Rica and stuff like that. Just trying to stretch, trying to see if I can do that. So what I'm gonna do, my goal is probably after we finish doing Latin with One, I'm gonna get HBO or one of these cable networks, and we're gonna go down to Baghdad. I wanna do a thing called Comedy Goes to War. I wanna entice maybe a top black comic, Damon Wayans, just funny, four funny guys, and go up there and perform in Baghdad, you know, because there's a lot of Latinos in the service. I myself was shocked. I've been there 3-4 times in Afghanistan and Baghdad, and whatever your feelings are about this war, I don't think nobody really likes war. I mean, it's worthless, but for whatever reason, they're there, I've always liked to do comedy in different venues, you know. I like to do it in difficult places, you know. Like, I did it in prison. I did it in different places, and that's what I want to do. And, you know, continue to get parts here in movies, but I'm not all that ambitious. I'm going to take these last years how long the Lord allows me to live, and smell the roses and hopefully have grandkids and not sweat it, knowing in my heart that whatever a legacy or whatever, history I've made, it's already done in cement, you know. I mean, I was here, and I hope that this road that I carved out, somebody paves it and turns it into an 8-lane highway someday. it's happening, you know. I mean, I will hopefully in another 10 years, like I said before, about 28 years ago, that Latino comedians and actors and actresses will be as common on American television as African-Americans are now, you know.
Yeah.
We're that big, we're that huge. And to all those that read this who have in the back of their mind, you know, I think I'm funny, I think I like to try it. I would say try it, even if you suck, at least you know that wasn't it. Nothing is worse. The reason I did it is because my biggest nightmare is that someday I would be an old guy surrounded by my grandkids saying, you know, I could have been somebody. I could have been this. I could have been that. But I didn't try, and I ran out of time. I'd rather have tried something and failed and know, well, that's not what I was born to do. Yeah. So just, that's it, you know, man. I mean, it sounds trite and it sounds cheap, but nobody's ever said it any better than it's what you make of yourself that really in the long run counts. Not the money you make, but the friends and the kind of person that you mature into being, which is a good human being, someone that your kids and your father and your family can say, you know, I'm related to that dude.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of that.
Thank you so much, Paul.
You're welcome, man.
I appreciate it. And be safe. God bless. And we'll see you here in Bakersfield, bro.
Come and get it.
Right on. Take care.
All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Don't forget to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Bako Tunes Radio. Brought to you by Bakotopia.com. Peace.
You a second time.
Bako Tunes Radio.